The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and she said, "They've taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went inside, and he saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels dressed in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?"
"They've taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they put him."
And at this she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus.
"Woman, why are you crying? Who it is you are looking for?"
Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll get him." But Jesus said to her,
"Mary."
She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said,
"Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I've seen the Lord," she said, and she told them all the things that had been said to her. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Lord. Today, approximately one third of the world's population will have either celebrated the Passover or Resurrection Sunday. Both events celebrate deliverance. The Passover celebrated the deliverance from slavery, and today from the despondency of sin. Let's pray. Loving God, as you opened the tomb and raised Jesus to new life, so open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What is it that you believe about God and about Jesus and about the cross and about the empty tomb? Many people believe that there was a man called Jesus who lived very morally and who taught the law of God and who died on a cross. But when it comes to the empty tomb, many people draw a line and refuse to cross it. They begin to speak about what is possible and what is impossible, about what's really real and what's not, about what's believable and what's unbelievable. Easter Day is the key of our faith and our hope. Remember, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us in to see that he'd gone. It's central The resurrection is central to everything that Jesus taught concerning himself and the kingdom of God. It's central to everything that the church has proclaimed since the day that Jesus ascended into heaven. Hear again what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ had not been raised, then your faith is futile, a delusion, and you're still lost in your sins. It would also mean that the believers in Christ who have died are lost. Indeed, if our hope in Christ is good for this life only, then we deserve more pity than anybody else. But the truth is, Christ has been raised from the dead as the guarantee that those who sleep in death will also be raised. Those who believe that Jesus should be followed simply because he was a great teacher, but who do not believe in the resurrection, as Paul says, are to be pitied more than anyone else. They are to be pitied because they do not understand the ways of God, nor the nature of life and death, and that which lies beyond death. They're to be pitied because while they have fixed themselves upon the obvious goodness of God and the obvious fine example set by Jesus, they've ignored the even greater gift that God offers us, which is eternal life. The good news is about Jesus that he is risen and he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say it. Jesus is Lord. And the good news is that he invites us to die with him and to rise with him. And that by his power, the power that Jesus bestowed on him, the thing that is impossible to us can happen. We can be reborn. We can enter into God's eternal presence. We can be transformed. We can live. We can become new. The news that we proclaim is not that God gives us a new law through Jesus. He gives us new life through Jesus. Not new laws, new life through Jesus. A life that's not only here and now, but a life that extends into eternal life. The faith that only focuses on doing good things, that only focuses on morality and the efforts of our own hands, is a weak faith, a faith that lacks power. Not because power is not available, but because faith doesn't reach out for it and doesn't recognize the power when it reaches out to us. A faith that only focuses on doing good things and on the beauty of creation around us. The glory of creation is a feeble faith. Because it lacks the transforming energy. Not because the energy of God is not available, but because faith doesn't reach out for it. And doesn't recognize the energy when it reaches out to us. Jesus is risen. He is here today. He is in us, every one of us. Here in our hearts, in the words we speak, in the love we show, even in our questions and doubts, he's here to share his power, his truth, his love, his strength, his faithfulness, his glory with all who would receive it. Jesus is risen to do what we cannot do for ourselves, to grant us the victory over sin and death, to open to us the way to God, to lift us when we fall, to forgive us and to heal us, and to transform us and to make us new. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What we celebrate here today, in fact, every Sunday, is that God made us and he cares for us. Cares so much that he refuses to simply be the God of the trees and bees, to be the only God who made swamps and ponds and tadpoles, but to be a just God who can be seen dimly behind creation. We celebrate today and every Sunday the fact that God cares so much that he would send his Son to die for us. Die for us. Despite the fact that every human being to one degree or another rejects him and his way of love. God gives us a law to follow, most definitely, but he gives us much more. He gives us his love. A love that is best seen on the cross and proved by the resurrection. The resurrection is that which shows us that human faith sinfulness is not the last word. The resurrection is that which shows us that death does not defeat life. The resurrection is that which shows us that there is a future, that there is a point to living faithfully, that there's more to our world than the laws of nature would have us believe. This is the gospel that we proclaim and believe. The empty tomb may be difficult for us to understand, but far more difficult to understand are the people who flee from it and its message of hope. What is it that you believe about God and about Jesus, about the cross and about the empty tomb? Do you think it's a fantasy because it's hard to imagine it being true? Do you think it's simply extra icing on the cake of life, a cake that we fully found in the worship of a God of nature? Stories told of a young college student who announced to a group of friends one day that he would believe nothing that he couldn't understand. Another student who lived on a farm turned to him and said, "As I was driving into the campus today, I passed a field in which some sheep were grazing. Do you believe it?" "Sure," replied the first student. "And not far from the sheep," the second student said, "some cows were grazing. Do you believe it?" "Yes," said the first student. "And not far down the road, a gaggle of geese were feeding. Do you believe it?" "Well, I guess so," said the first student. "Well," said the second student, "the grass that the sheep ate will turn into wool. The grass the cows ate will turn into milk. And the grass that the geese ate will turn into feathers. Do you believe this?" "Yes, I do," said the first student. "Do you understand it?" "Well, not really." And the first student said, "You know, if you live long enough, you'll find there are a great many things that you will believe without understanding." And it's the same with the resurrection. We have to believe, perhaps without understanding. But it's not a reason not to believe in it and in what it points to, which is a God who cares so much that he enters into our life and shows us how to live it. And shows as well that when we fail to live life as we ought, we can turn back to him. The empty tomb promises all those who have faith, all those who strive to follow in the path of Christ, that life triumphs over death. That we do not perish like the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, our place to be taken by someone else. But rather that life, our life, goes on in a new and glorious form. In the everlasting presence and the everlasting kingdom of God our Father. Believe, my friends, in the testimony of those who saw the risen Christ and talked about him and wrote about him in the words of this book. Believe, too, the testimony of the apostles and millions of saints down through the years who have believed that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a fact. And so the question is, if you have never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, today's a good day. To have that assurance that when you die, you are going to go to heaven, you have eternal life. We need that assurance. The resurrection is true. Jesus died and rose again. The opportunity for us to accept Jesus is available. If anybody wants to do that, shoot up the front now and we'll pray for you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Lord God, like the first witnesses of the resurrection, we too come to the empty tomb with a variety of responses. We hear the good news that Jesus is risen, but so often the evidence for this is difficult to detect in our lives. We pray, enliven our faith and help us to make the risen Christ evident through our words and our actions. Help us to believe that we may see, that others may see, and then believe. We ask in his wonderful, magnificent, and mighty name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Thank you, Lord.